Powder Mountain Water Sewer Improvement District, dated on this, the 26th of March, 2018. Present in the room is Mark, Jim Harvey, over the telephone, Bob Ferrant, Gary Erdang, then we have Roy Watts and...
Paul?
Do you remember his name?
Oh, I remember. We have the short timer. I just was trying to think of the accolade. We have Paul Hirsch, acting, I guess, until the end of this month as co-managers, and then Carrie Zinger, and then Rachel, and I don't know you.
Marcus Keller with Zions.
Marcus Keller with Zions, and Marcus, you're welcome to join us at the table.
I didn't want to intrude, but
you're not intruding.
On the table with a
come down here where I can keep my hands on you, then
there you,
you get out of control. Okay, tell me your name again.
Marcus Keller with Zions Public Finance.
Marcus Keller with Zions Public Finance, for those of you on the phone.
Okay, thank you.
For breakfast?
I don't want any...
I don't have any excuses for those who are absent, so are there any public comments? None being recognized, we'll move on then to item C. Mr. Keller, if you'd... you've got some bond documentation.
Correct. I've handed those over to Carrie. This will just be need to signed and approved after, I guess, ratification of the bond. Is that what's still planning on being adopted today? Or I guess it's already been approved, but okay. So after maybe the rates are ratified, then we can do this just at the end of the meeting. It doesn't have to be done at any time necessarily. So.
Great.
And those bond documents, again, are just going to have samples of the bonds, spots for our signatories on the indenture, supplemental indenture, and so on and so forth.
Okay. Any questions in the room or over the phone?
Nope.
Okay, great. With that being said, then we'll move on to item D. Bob or Don Barnett, a discussion and or action on water rights, and I...
Yeah, for Don's out.
He's not here right now.
And I think we were thinking about doing that in closed session anyway,
so we'll
we
move
can
that,
take that out of order or whatever.
We'll take that on a hold or strike that
because
for now.
We might need action after we discuss it in closed session, so we can...
At the recommendation of Rachel, we'll hold that, move that into closed section, so item D will be held and moved into closed section. Sorry, I will be moving rather quickly today because of the length of our agenda. Item number E, an engineering report from Mr. Hirsch, a discussion and or action on the conservation plan, and the two part B, Cobabe Well. Mr. Hirsch.
It's in the front, Paul.
It's in the front. In the okay. Front. You have in your packet, either emailed or hard copy, the conservation plan. This is necessary as part of the bonding process, and it's a good thing anyway, by the way. To have a conservation plan. The conservation plan is tied back to the rules and regulations that you've previously approved. And of course, you'll approve the rates for those rules and regulations today, I believe, as I recall. So I just call your attention to one thing for the sake of the company, if I can use that, that acronym on page 4 of 6, current efforts on the conservation goals. You'll see underlined and in bold the words, this restriction is that no outdoor irrigation is allowed on the system, period, the end. Now, minimum is usually 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., but in this particular case, being on top of a mountain in the middle of wilderness, it made more sense just to say we're not going to allow outdoor irrigation. Lawns, in other words.
Yeah. The one caveat to that I think we're all in agreement on is when we're trying to establish vegetation for revegetation of disturbed areas.
If somebody wants to grow a tree, fine.
Not really a tree, just, you know, well, yeah, potentially aspens, but more likely it's just going to be native grasses, just trying to get them established through the first summer so they don't burn up, because that's what we've seen is when we try to revegetate now, mm-hmm. without any irrigation at all, they'll germinate and then by August they're burning up and they haven't established a root structure deep enough to make it through that first year. So
that sounds enough. Do we need to write that in? Because I was also thinking, boy, what about the gal who wants to just have a couple of flowers and a little flower pot out in the front? But it's, yes, when it says none, you can. I don't want that to be misinterpreted.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, and I think we had actually talked about maybe even doing a water truck with a dry hydrant so we can control it, you know, something like that with surface pipe just to get stuff established. I don't know what the best solution is, but we obviously don't want long-term persistent irrigation of any of those lots, yeah, right, for multiple reasons. We don't want to saturate the land and create slumping issues. We don't want to consume water that we shouldn't be consuming. So,
can we just make it clear in the language that, that it's allowed during establishment of native vegetation, but, yeah, or landscaping?
Only during establishment of native.
We could add something like that, and that still exceeds the state's minimum requirement, so this would still pass muster for the bond.
Okay.
So would you like to suggest, do we want to just make it that simple, just during initial establishment, yes, of vegetation?
Yeah.
I mean, I could add that sentence in that, you know, and I guess I would, Mr. Chairman, I would suggest if, with that modification, if we could get an approval on this in due time, you know, during this meeting.
Okay, one moment. Gary, Bob, any other questions?
You know, I would just add a time limit, maybe 12 months from the from planting, or 12 months from certificate of occupancy or something, so that it's not, hey, I want to redo my lawn 3 years from now.
You know, or even prohibit the establishment of a permanent irrigation system. I mean, it's one thing to run a garden hose with drip irrigation to get started. It's another thing to put in fixed lines and pop-up sprinklers or whatever else you might need.
Okay. So,
I mean, we can work that language, Paul. I've got a quickie on page 2 related to that table 1.
I got, that's great. Do you all feel, do you want to make a motion then?
For that one line?
However you want to state it.
Yeah, give us what you'd like and so that we can get this codified.
Okay. So why don't you and Mark work on something and just get something down? I can't think of anything right now.
Okay. Yeah, I'll run it by our team and we'll shoot some language over to you. That,
so how do I get this done before Thursday? I gotta have a motion.
I can have it to you. Oh, yeah, we do need to have a motion. So
can't we approve it with those changes?
Subject to. That's what I mean. Yeah. I can't run around the mulberry bush and still make it.
Yeah. Paul, I have another quick question on page 2, related to the table 1. I don't know if you can open that up and take a look. Minor clarification.
Yeah. Okay. Got it.
Should that gallons per capita that is listed be gallons per connection? Am I missing it?
Let's see. Millions of gallons, 87, 102. I think that is gallons per connection. Does it say gallons per capita? Well,
it does.
Gallons, no, it says up and top here.
Yeah, and then
no,
at the bottom.
The asterisk below says gallons per capita.
Okay.
Good catch.
Okay, got it.
That's minor, but what the heck.
Got it. We'll fix it.
Okay. Thanks, Paul. It's good otherwise, pending those modifications.
Okay. How do we want to handle this other phrase then?
I don't know. Mark, can you get with Paul today on your language? I mean,
yeah, we can definitely get him language this afternoon. Don's going to be in the office today, and when I get back, I can circle up with him and have language put over.
And then just shoot it over to the board and Roy, and we'll just email response, or it flies on its own.
Yeah.
Do we want to do it that way? Can we do it that way, or should we have a motion subject to?
What was the other way suggested?
Well, we'll need a motion.
Just do an electronic approval.
Oh, no. I would do it a motion right
Let's
now.
Let's do a motion right now.
Yep.
So I'm hearing, anyone like to make a motion?
I move that we approve the conservation plan with minor correction related to Table 1 and pending suitable language to be put together by Mark Schrotel and the company with review by board members, subject to that approval?
No, we can't have it subject to another approval. It needs to be approved right
so,
now.
So why don't we just, can we make it subject to a limit? So within the first year for establishment of native plants, and then, you know, we can clarify that as necessary. I mean, we're kind of in agreement on that, aren't we?
You can come back and recodify this later on.
Yeah.
But for now, we've got to have something.
Yeah, so why don't we leave it somewhat vague, and we'll send you clarified language, and we can approve
yeah.
it based on
the thing I worry about is the establishment of fixed irrigation systems. If it's temporary, it's a garden hose with drip lines. Or
yeah, so I think we just say something like, you know, the one exception is a temporary irrigation system for the establishment of new vegetation. Because, Gary, the one thing
that
I would be
good.
Concerned about with putting a timeline based on the issuance of the CO would be if someone makes any changes to their lot after their CO is issued, you know, 3 years
yeah.
down the line, and they end up with an area disturbance that they can't revegetate, and then we have a big scar.
That's
true.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we'll... I'm sorry, but I got a motion without a second, so would you restate the motion, please?
Mark, you're on better track than I am with this. Go ahead.
Do we want to basically redline it right here and then make the motion based on the red line? So
that would be great if you had
it. Okay. So, I make the motion to approve the conservation plan based on the revision to table one and the addition of an exemption for irrigation, temporary irrigation to allow the establishment of vegetation in disturbed areas.
Okay.
I second that motion.
Okay, I have a motion by Mr. Schotel and a second by Mr. Barrett or Trustee Barrett, trustee and trustee. Are there any more discussion on this item? Is there any more? None being heard, I'll call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion carries unanimously. Thank you. We'll now move on then to the Cobabe Well, Mr. Hurst.
So I'll give you the history and the status of this particular well. Number one, as I call it, the new well. In terms of facts, notice of award was given to Zim Industries on September 11th, 2017. No notice to proceed was given on October 5th, 2017, with them being required to be off the site by the end of October, which made mobilizing, getting on the site, and doing anything meaningful fruitless, other than they could have maybe done the first time feed the casing, but that's about all they could have accomplished then. The contract value to Zim is $1,010,640. Substantial completion is July 31st, 2018, with final completion August 30th, 2018. Zim will come back as soon as we get the ground hard enough that he can drive that heavy drill rig onto that earthen-filled, compacted material and not sink up to his axles. So we're waiting on Mother Nature, and then they'll get there, they'll get started, they'll run continuously. I was asked the question, is this just for a test well? No, it is through completion of a production well. I cross my fingers when
right.
I say that.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's the status right now. Now the other thing that happened because of the delays caused by negotiation to get the easement, and then after that, following that negotiation, then we had to do site prep work. And as soon as the site prep work was done, then we could get on to the well driller doing his thing. Now we bid before the site prep was finished. But at any rate, the sequence is this. In that process, the second drill card expired. Now, Don Barnett's office is getting us another drill card right now. So we'll have that ready to go. And those are the only things, you know, weather, And the formality of a drill card. I guess the other question is the Division of Drinking Water approval of the PER. The Division of Drinking Water has some very stringent and in some cases archaic rules. One of their archaic rules is how you handle a sewer line going through the wellhead protection zone area or the area of influence within the well itself. Their rules are it's either get it out of there, which isn't possible because there's no room, or you put a pipe in that has no joints and no manholes and through this zone, and we're talking 1,000 feet.
That's against code, isn't it?
Yeah, you got to be able to. Pardon, you got to be able to clean it, every 500 feet.
Right.
What we've been doing, and we've been negotiating with them for a number of months, and we're finally to a point where they can. They're willing to give us an exception, but it's taking some effort, is that we're going to put a liner in. They aren't familiar with the lining materials, so that's where they're archaic. They go, no, you've got to just put in a solid pipe. Dig it all up and put in a solid pipe. We go, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to put, as they call it, a sock or a liner in. Number one, they said, well, then the manholes. Well, we can line the manholes with epoxy and make them tight. We've got to do that before we even approve the PER. No, we're not going to do that, because if we don't have water, we're not going to spend $70,000 to $100,000 to do this if we don't have water. And we've got time. So that's all the negotiating that's been going on. This morning we're communicating back, well, they want one more thing, and we're going, fine, we'll give it to you. And so we're sending that information back to them today, saying, well, okay, we accept your conditions for an exception, so that letter can be issued by the state. But we've been bantering that back and forth now for 2 months.
Got it.
2 months with them, because they're understaffed, or they choose not to be responsive in a very expedited way. That's where it is.
Paul, are we good on the bond paperwork? That was something that I thought was an additional holdup.
Well, all of this is part of the bond, and all of this stuff has got to be in place and in line, and that's why the water conservation plan is such a is on fire. All of this needs to be in to get the bond done, and that's why Marcus is sitting here to talk about that. So yes, we're checking them off one at a time. Our attorney Mark Anderson has finally come to life over the weekend. It was anything but a quiet weekend for me. And it will continue to be frantic today with him.
Okay. And then the question, and I've asked this, at the point of belaboring, what are we going to do with the water when it does come squirting out of the ground at Cobabe? I mean, we need a second source. It's high fives for everybody when we get a high yield. But I would argue that we need to be moving in parallel with some sort of at least preliminary discussions about next steps, including financing, which always always seems to be, the fly in the ointment.
The approach I was taking, yes, you're right, and yes, just to have water sitting at that particular source bubbling out of the ground, whether it's pumped or whether it bubbles on its own, doesn't do us any good at all. It's it's $1 million+ thing. That fountain that we have is about all we have at that. We'll do a pretty building over it too, but they can't paint.
Well, now hold on.
You'll be happy to know that the guy that was painting the buildings is no longer with us.
Thank God.
Yeah. So,
got that guy.
Yeah.
This building will look aesthetically nice enough that nobody will want to paint it, I hope, except for those that want to tag it, But. Here's the thought process that I've been going through, Bob, and that is, I don't know what I'm dealing with yet in terms of the quantity of water that we're going to need to be pumping up the hill, so I haven't
been
doing much other than, you've seen an estimate from us. That's just our swag.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, to get bonding, I'd rather be just a little more definitive. I mean, I can try.
Yeah. And I hear you, but we're, from where I sit, this particular project, the next step, if you will, needs to go out to RFP. I mean, you're now assuming the role of our engineer, and I would suggest that that particular project be sent for RFP for multiple competitive bids, so that we have a feel of what our next step options would be, and to get going on that now, irrespective of not having specific knowledge on sustainable yield, would make sense. I mean, you can just adjust the pipe size or the pump size after the fact, but this is another, your initial back of the napkin estimates were close to $2 million. That's a big number. We need that to go out for RFP and solicit bids from multiple firms.
To do what?
To construct pump stations and connect the pipes and get it up to our tanks and into our distribution systems. I mean, eventually that's going to have to happen.
So let me, if I understand correctly, we're going to be going in and drilling a secondary well at Cobain or the new well.
Mm-hmm.
And then what you're saying, Bob, is simultaneously why we're in the process of construction and drilling a well, let's at least get some scenarios together so that we can be gathering bids to get that presumed water to the top of the hill. So when water is found, crossing fingers, when water is found, we can then take, and we're further ahead than having to wait to bid. We're just moving one of the portions. We're not contracting with anyone, but we're at least getting bids.
Yeah.
So we can get, you know, once the water's found, then it's okay, we found these bids. Yeah. Let's get this guy mobilized and start moving forward. Can we do that?
Yeah, I don't want to necessarily plug into a single firm, even though we're having success. I want broad RFP. I want multiple firms involved. I want competitive bids. And I want to understand our options, because the single variable here is the amount of water, hopefully. That's
now,
it.
Bob, are you talking construction or are you talking engineering?
Construction.
Both. Engineering and construction. You're now, Paul, you're the district engineer, and I think our district engineer needs to be in a position to analyze competitive bids.
I concur, and I concur for two reasons. One, obviously, Bob has a sensible idea. The other is that the volume of water that we're going to need to pump up the hill is defined, right? I mean, there may be an upper limit. There may be some amount that will eventually have to go up to Hidden Lake. But in the short term, it's 50 houses in Powder Mountain West and, you know, the other connections that we're servicing now. We know what that volume is.
I don't agree with you.
No, that's not true, Terry.
Here's what I'm laboring under.
Mm-hmm.
If it's 100 gallons per minute, it's one scenario for pipe sizes and also for pumps and pump stations. If it's 200 gallons per minute, it's an entirely different scenario for pipe sizes and pumps and perhaps the location of things. We have time after the well's drilled and after we prove its production, then we will design a well house. In that intervening period, we can deal with this particular issue. There's another.
Paul, you're assuming, you know, Paul, I hear what you're saying. I myself would not bet the farm that aquifer at even Hidden Lake, given the low demands there, isn't at risk with this season's snowpack. I mean, we haven't proven Bloomington, really. They haven't finished that. We're running off a single well with a superficial aquifer. We don't have a second source. There's terrific urgency to getting this done. Anything that we can do that allows us to facilitate getting water to our reservoirs and distribution centers, we need to do.
So
just what I'm saying. I'm not the engineer here, but I don't have high confidence in Bloomington. I don't have high confidence in the sustainability of Hidden Lake. We need a second source. The state is on our case. you know, that's where I am. I don't want to waste a month after we demonstrate water to get bids together and to understand the engineering dynamics.
Let me interject. Bob, let me interject. So is there harm in moving forward with some preliminary, at least, bids for construction? My concern has to deal with the building economy right now and the amount of people who are busy in the construction world. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know personally of several people who are paying tens of thousands of dollars to move their project or expedite their project up on a list. Mm-hmm. If we, there is some wisdom, I think, in that, or we need to be proactive or aggressively seeking bids, or kind of saying to a couple different contractors, saying you might be getting this work going up the hill, otherwise it might be another year. A lot of guys that I talk to, and I've been, excuse me, in the building industry for 30 years now, this is our 30th year, but they're saying, call me next year. I can't take your work this year. Mm-hmm. We're that busy. And so doing something to move a process forward, I think, has some wisdom in it. I realize that there's also wisdom in saying, okay, let's wait till we'll know what we have before we get it from point A to point B, so we can size it and do everything else potentially. Right now we're saying we're hoping we get a car, but we don't know if we're going to have a Subaru or a Suburban, and that's going to determine whether or not they both may have all-wheel drive, but we don't know if we're going to have a four-cylinder or an eight-cylinder and what kind of a transmission we need in it. And that's what I think that's what I hear is the difference, is what's the power plant.
Okay, and let me suggest this. I think this needs more thorough consideration. Let me paint the picture for you. Number one, we have a lot of unknowns relative to the design of the system, number one. Number two, and the big one, is we ain't got no money. We haven't even got a bond identified. We've got no way to pay for this at this particular moment. Number three, I submit we have time, because by the time he gets through drilling the well and then we get into design and construction of the well house, we're into next year. I don't care how you slice or dice it. You will not be able to deliver one drop of water until sometime next year. You've got a short construction period. You've got the skiers that are going to be going up and down the canyon that, you know, you're going to be having to inhibit them if you try to, you know, get in the prime season. Snow coming, hopefully. I say, as of today, this is very premature. That's my opinion.
I will defer to the board for additional comment.
I guess my comment is there's a range of possible outcomes. And I know I've said this before, I can't imagine we're the only people ever to have that range of possible outcomes, such that we have to figure out what the costs are now versus waiting forever. Second thing, in terms of the bond, can't we get that bond going with the amount TBD? I mean, again, we know it's, you know, pick a number between $1 and $1.9 million. Presumably, with a tiny bit of work, we can make that, you know, $1.4 to $1.8 million. Again, I mean, the bond, it seems like, has been taking a really long time to get done. Again, I'm new to the board, but, you know, to Bob's point, let's have it ready to go. Let's have everything that we need to do done.
I was just going to mention
this is Marcus Keller from Zion speaking now.
So the bond process, I think this time around, if we were to go back to Board of Water Resources, would probably be a little bit expedited, just because we have some of the stuff that would be in place. But again, to Paul's point, I don't necessarily think that would be a quick process that we could get done. I mean, whenever you're working through state and government funding programs, there's always delays, there's always extra credentials they want. Now, if this were to say that Powder Mountain had the credit and the financial being just to go out and issue a private bond and was willing to accept a little bit of a higher interest rate and everything, then yeah, we could do something within 60 to 90 days, easy to get a bond put into place. But again, when you're talking about having to go through government funding sources, if that's going to be through Board of Water Resources again, if they'll let us issue additional debt with them or USDA or whatever the financing mechanism is, those tend to take a lot longer than just a private bond being issued. So I'm not saying it would be undoable, but I'm just saying whenever, as a rule of thumb, whenever we're issuing through those government boards, we always give ourselves plenty of time. I think each and every one of us know it's been a little bit of a a hassle at sometimes to try to appease requirements.
Well, thanks for that clarification. But as a water district, we have the ability to assess our customers, okay? So we're not strictly reliant on financing. Mm-hmm. But we will be in big trouble if the state actually does get action on us for not having a second source, if Bloomington doesn't prove out, or if Hidden Lake has a problem. Right now, we do not have water security. And anything that we can do to secure water and make sure that we can move forward with the state in serving our customers, we need to do. And we need to proceed in parallel on many fronts. That's just my opinion. That's just one board member saying, I'm worried about water security in our district.
Bob, I think with this then, I would like this group that we're talking to right now to hear that this board has an appetite to move the process along as expeditiously as financially feasible, not just financially, but as expeditiously as possible. What I'd like to do is defer for at least a month this particular item, but have the board come back. Hold on. And I don't know that we needed it as a recommendation, but I would like Roy, Carrie, if this requires you to be here too, Marcus, but and Rachel, I don't know what you're in, but I'd like you to come back and say, okay, under our conditions, this board would like to move forward with getting the water to the top of the hill, whether that has to do with working with Paul in engineering, whether that has to do with Zions, whether that has to do with putting out an RFP. What is the soonest that we can do particular steps, and what steps, identify those steps, and let's put some dates associated with dates associated with those steps that are reasonable and that would comply with all the state stuff and everything else. By having that in writing, it also shows, hopefully it would show confidence with the state, Bob, that we are moving forward, we do care, and that we have a plan or an action plan in mind. Does that sound reasonable?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yes. So we're not going to settle this.
Roy, would
right
you accept
now.
That assignment on behalf of the manager? And
yeah, I think that's a great idea because I can hear their frustrations as homeowners. And, you know, if they lost the other source, they lost Bloomington or we lost Hidden Lake, you would want to be doing something pretty aggressively to make sure that if something happens seriously up there on the burn down a house or something. But it just shows that you're prudently moving ahead as fast as you can to get things back the way they were.
Great. Can we? Are you okay? Both Bob and Gary, are you okay with that?
I am.
Bob.
Yes.
Okay. With that being the discussion, then we'll just table that for another month, and then I'm going to move on then to item F on our agenda, which is approval of consent items. Request of approval of the district bills that need to be paid, warrants 354 to 364 in the amount of $32,044.60. Do I have a motion on that? Well, you know what? I can do all the consent items in one thing. So I'll go item two, request for approval of the minutes for the meeting held on February 26, 2018. Item three is to ratify the new water rates for 2018, which I believe would have been we've had the second hearing and everything's cool with
that.
We
had a hearing last time.
Yes.
We just didn't have an agenda item to approve, so we're approving the rates today.
Great. If everyone heard that, then item four is the authorization of distribution of $100,000 for bond shares contract
Are there any questions with regards to those consent items? None being heard, I'll ask for a recommendation or a motion.
I move that we approve the consent item.
Motion recognized by Trustee Barrett.
A second.
Second by Trustee Scrotel. No more. If there are any more, if there are no more discussion, I'll call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. We're on to item G on our attorney, and that's Rachel Anderson. Our attorney report items 4, 5, and 6. Rachel.
Okay, and I will try to be as quick as possible as well. The first two items I'm going to kind of take together. Basically, what we're doing, getting off of the whole bond and urgent rush matters for just a moment.
Okay.
This is our effort to kind of do an assessment of the district overall and make sure that we're in compliance with all aspects of local district law, et cetera, that apply to us. So in speaking with Roy and Carrie, we are going, this is more number five I'm speaking to first. We are going to be doing a comprehensive review of the district and looking and making sure that we're doing everything appropriately. And also in line with that, we were going to be adopting and preparing for you guys a full slew of policies and procedures. We need a personnel policy, we need a purchasing policy, and several others. So we're gonna be working on that. We have a meeting set up this week with LeGrand Bitter, who is the director of the Utah Association of Special Districts, and he's going to be helping us out in this review that we're doing. But first item we thought we'd get to today is number four. We thought we'd go ahead and get some of these board positions, well, they're not all board positions, but these positions appointed. The first one it says treasurer secretary, it's really just treasurer, and the district clerk. Now, if you recall, we've had Carrie acting as treasurer and clerk up until now. However, we need to have those, the treasurer and the clerk, be separate positions. They cannot be held by the same person. So what I would propose for now, they both have financial aspects in regards to reviewing and maintaining records of the district. Do you have, I actually didn't talk to you, Roy, about this. Do you have any specific thoughts about who you want to hold these roles, or do you just want my recommendation?
Yeah, I think best take your recommendation. I just know that they need to be separated, or and or if the board's comfortable with a trustee doing it, or and
right.
or us. So,
so
I think
what
it
I was
can be
thinking, yeah,
you.
What well, I was what I was going to suggest is that we keep carry on as the district clerk, and we have a board member sign on to be treasurer, and they will work together to make sure that the financial stuff is, you know, has two eyes on it, and I can work with them more to explain what all those roles will be, but it'll be
so a board member to act as the
treasurer.
We
right.
need a board member
right.
to act as the treasurer.
Right.
A second set of eyes, kind of just kind of a, like a little audit of basically what we do.
Right, right.
Carrie, this is right up your alley.
But real quick
Bob got me in a headlock yesterday.
Hold on just a second, gentlemen. Before we have a motion on that, I just wanted to ask with all this bond stuff, I know that we currently have Carrie listed as treasurer. Is there any reason, like, maybe we should delay the effective date of the new treasurer name? Is Carrie's name on stuff right now? Like, do you know if that's going to be a problem for closing?
Carrie's just listed as district clerk right now, which would, we do require that.
Right, and she will continue.
Yeah, so
okay.
if she's just planning on that, I don't think we have anything.
Okay, so my point
treasurer.
Is if we... What?
The bond.
But... when you're submitting your bills, we could submit that through, the fidelity bond. Does that
it's
have
got
district
my,
clerk?
No, it's got treasurer secretary.
Treasurer secretary.
And I just got the new one that was updated. It's out there waiting for us to.
But Roy's on it too, right?
It's me and Roy.
Do you want to, I mean, really?
I'm just asking, it's no big deal.
So I can, what I was going to suggest is if it's going to be an issue for bond closing, it's, I mean, these kind of things change all the time. It's not mm-hmm. locked in
yeah.
stone. I mean, Carrie could leave the district today and we'd have to appoint someone new,
yeah.
you know. So, but if it's going to be an issue, I could say that we could delay the effective date until after, you know, next week or whatever. If it's going to be like a weirdness with closing, that was my only thing.
Well, just so you realize.
But if you don't think so.
The fidelity bond just covers the two positions, it sounds like, the treasurer and then the general manager, which
right.
would be Roy's position. So whoever is
whoever
the new
is
treasurer.
In the role is covered regardless. Right.
Correct.
Like I was going to say, like Carrie left the
district. So, yeah,
someone else
true.
Would have to be appointed,
mm-hmm.
but we already yeah. had the bond
Yeah, I'm just saying whoever takes the new spot of treasure after it gets assigned would be responsible to make those payments, and Carrie wouldn't be able to as district clerk.
Okay.
So either Roy would need to do it, or whoever's the new assigned. And we can work that out after the facts, but if you do move it back the effective date, that'd probably be helpful.
Okay, so let's just do that.
So if we did it just a couple weeks so she could do the payments, just
So that's what I would suggest, is we appoint Carrie as clerk and Gary, is that what we said, as treasurer effective, what should we say, a couple weeks from now, or should we go a month out?
Can we just do maybe May 1st?
May 1st.
That would give us enough time, and then if there is any things that we need to submit to be able to get the proceeds released by the state, then that would allow Carrie to be able to pay, because the biggest thing I would imagine that she's going to want to pay is just all the cost of issuance bills, since she's familiar with it, so board water resources, bond attorney, all that other stuff.
Does that sound good with everyone?
Yeah, was the secretary a separate position?
No, not really. That one's not required, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's a recommendation by Rachel that Carrie Zenger be the clerk.
She already is appointed clerk, so we don't actually need to change anything.
Okay, so we don't need to change anything there. But we need to have a treasurer. Is there a motion from the board to have one of the board members serve as treasurer?
Effective beginning May.
Effective the 1st of May.
I move that Mr. Gary Erdang be our treasurer effective the 1st of May.
I have a motion.
A second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there anyone that likes to make the motion that nominations be closed?
I want to make that motion a little earlier than we just made the previous motion.
If there's no more conversation or on that, I'll call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Good. Great. We have a unanimous thing. So, Mr. Erdang, thank you for serving as treasurer beginning on the 1st of May. So there you go,
okay,
Rich. We're good
so
there. And
two more
Marcus.
That sounds great.
Yep. Okay. Two more aspects. We wanted to appoint a purchasing agent and a records officer. Carrie informs me that she's already the records officer. I don't remember if I was here when that was appointed.
I think
if
it was
we
Chris.
Want to reappoint or anything. And then in terms of purchasing agent, this person would be authorized to another term for it is a financial officer for the purpose of approving payroll checks and routine expenditures and that sort of thing. I would suggest maybe that be Roy. Is that what you would think for purchasing
officer?
Yeah,
that again, a board member could do it if they want to. It's all how comfortable I think the board is with your comfort level in looking at things that go on.
Right.
If you want more hands-on, if you're comfortable just seeing what happens in the meeting within a list of checks, I can go ahead and do it.
Right. So I guess that's up to you, either Roy or if a board member wants to be the purchasing agent to review routine expenditures.
Is there any discussion on that?
As we've been doing it now, you've kind of been doing it the second way of you just get every month a list of what's happened. I mean,
with the hiring Roy, I think that just adds a little bit more separation already. And so I think I'm comfortable with having Roy.
Yeah, that's what I would suggest.
Gary, Bob, any comments?
No, Roy, made sense to me.
Okay.
Me too.
Okay.
Moving right along.
Can we do the motion to appoint Roy as the purchasing agent?
Is there a motion to appoint Roy as the purchasing agent?
I'll make the motion to appoint Roy Watts, purchasing agent.
Trustee Scrotel makes the motion to appoint Roy as our purchasing agent. Is there a second?
Second.
Recognized by Trustee Barrett. Is there any more discussion? Call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Rachel. On to the next.
Okay, last thing is the discussion and action on the resolution for the new company vehicle. This is part of the equipment lease that we have discussed and informally agreed to previously, but we have received a formal, I don't know if you have it in here. You don't?
No.
Okay, Carrie has the resolution. We request that we've had a request to have this formal resolution adopted, approving the equipment lease. And so if we could get a resolution, because we kind of approved it informally, but yeah. So Carrie has a copy of the resolution.
The recommendation is to have a resolution for the formal equipment lease. Great.
If there's no more discussion on that, Carrie, will you please call each trustee by name and ask for their vote?
Trustee Barrett?
Aye.
Trustee Shortell?
Aye.
Trustee Yerding?
Aye.
Trustee Harvey?
Aye. The resolution passes unanimously. Ms. Anderson?
That's all for me.
That's all for you, which takes us to item number H, the election of appointment of positions for Secretary Treasurer, which is done.
We just did that.
District, okay. We'll move on to item number I on our agenda, which is the manager's report, and it's listed as Roy Watts. And so, Roy?
By the way, just sorry, before I start, compliment everybody on everything you guys have done over the last few years. Pretty impressive to where the district was and where it's at now. It's been incredible to watch. But you all should be congratulated on a huge effort to get the district.
It's all out. Paul.
It's all well, he's Paul.
Paul should have a big, Paul big part is, of the congratulations on that. He's done a lot, no question. And Carrie's
Paul,
done yeah. a lot.
Paul so has moved the catapult into place, is locked and loaded, and is holding a torch ready to burn the string.
He's done a great job. But one of the first things we need to do is, of course, to moving away from the... having Carrie work for the district and have Paul as our engineer and not managing is to have an office. In doing that, we need, of course, our full-time employees, and Carrie is, I'd recommend, is the best person to have as the district clerk, and she is needs to be hired as a full-time employee of the district. And so I've talked to her. She's comfortable in doing that, and I'd suggest that keep her on board. I think she would go do other things if she didn't. So. My recommendation is that we bring her on as a full-time employee for the district. We had wages established already, but and we have a budget up to $36,000. Some of the money that you, in the discounting, what you had in there for a manager gives you a few thousand more dollars to cover the additional benefits and other things. And by the way, we worked with the county, and I carry, I don't remember the name of the individual.
Page.
That's, pardon me?
Page.
Page, she's in the county for... HR, and they will make, through an interlocal agreement, they will make the benefits of the county at their level or rates available to us, mm-hmm. which could already cut our cost in half of what we're paying our first employee. So it would be reasonable. I'd suggest that sometime as we talk about that more, we'd probably have to have Rachel prepare an interlocal agreement for us and bring that back to the board for the benefits and can... And I believe some of those benefits actually become available to the trustees. I'm not sure how they pay them out of their own pocket, but I think most entities, they allow the trustees to participate in some way, maybe life insurance and things like that. So,
that's a very generous proposal from the county now, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, the county doesn't pay it, the district does, the people do, but the county uses their buying power to make these benefits available at a reasonable price.
That's great.
So anyway, a recommendation is that we hire Carrie, the district hire Carrie as a full-time employee where she's been working for CRS.
Okay, it's been heard and recommended by Roy Watts to hire Carrie as full-time. Rachel Wellnett, just a second. Mm-hmm. Will you, if you're preparing an interlocal agreement, will you make sure that Chris Crockett sees that?
Absolutely,
or,
yeah.
Or Cortland Erickson before it comes before the commission body on that. Paige will know a little more which one to see, but I just so we can expedite this through that other
and
process.
I'm thinking they might have a form that they've used
they, we
before.
We have tons of them.
Right? Yeah. So I'm like, just
talk to them.
Yeah, I'll talk to them. Yeah.
Be great. Is there a motion for that recommendation from Roy?
I actually just have a question.
Yeah.
This isn't really directly related to Carrie's hiring. It's more related to the organizational changes that we've had overall recently, mm-hmm. and yeah, some of the efficiencies that you've been able to gain. Do we have any estimate on what the net impact of all these changes are going to be to our operating expenses annually?
Yeah, we've been looking at that as we're making these changes, and it looks like most everything will be within budget.
Okay.
The funds are there. Paul was pretty careful making sure there was enough money for the office, for establishing an office as well as funding it, and okay. in that budget there's enough to cover equipment and furnishings and things. There's enough money in there pretty much for the employees, but from what I can tell, and Paul, you might talk to this, I don't think they were still planning on a manager this year? I think it was next year if I look at the spreadsheet.
This year.
It was this year? I thought it was 2019.
No, this year.
Okay. Well, anyway, with that, it appears it will be fine. We'll be very close, possibly, as we try to cover taxes and state mandated benefits in retirement as a requirement. Retirement is a requirement by the state that we contribute as an entity for the employees. And so that might be the one thing that's out there, and some of the taxes that we hadn't anticipated might be a little more expensive than we planned on. But other than that, we should be really close. And again, we're going to be looking at the budget and the chart of accounts, and probably reorganize some of the expenses based on the true needs now and what the entity will look like financially and structurally.
Okay. Great. Chair is open for a motion. The recommendation from Roy Watts is that we have a motion to hire Carrie Zanger as the, it would be the clerk or secretary of the district.
I make that motion.
Motion recognized by Trustee Erdang. Second. Is there a second?
Second.
We have a second by Trustee Barrett. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously.
Okay. Glad I got you on, Gary. Life could be rough without it, I promise you.
New office space and supplies, Mr. Watts.
Okay. Some of you may have seen some of the notes we sent out to you. We've looked all over the place for an office. We found multiple spaces that were jointly shared with other people, adjoining desks. And we wanted something as close to the county as we could be because of these kind of reasons. And trying to find something that's reasonable with not being very big, just maybe a single room. And the one that we ran across, we looked here actually, and even in this building it was too expensive, but the old post office, just up the street a ways, has an adequate office, about this size, maybe a little bit less than this size right here. It'll work well. It has a nice, great parking lot, close to the county for meetings, and all of our business happens here in the valley for the most part. And this will be good for us for a number of years until we're ready to build a shop and an office probably up closer to the infrastructure. But we need a place to house water rights and business address and place to actually put the files and everything else as we move out of CRS. And we do have the budget for the tables, the desks, and CRS has been gracious enough to about give us some of their stuff to get us out of there.
And what we won't do to get rid of you.
Yeah. So with that, we're just shopping around buying stuff at discounted prices, and we do need to, of course, set up our own computers and network inside the office and phones. And the office does have utilities other than phone service.
What's the price per square foot?
I don't know if we have a price per square foot.
No, it's $750 a month for the which includes our utilities minus Comcast, and it's 565 square feet.
So it's about $13. Okay, that's for that size space. That's reasonable. We were probably about 18.
Oh yeah.
Based on the So okay. Any discussion on that item?
Office? No.
Then I'll entertain a motion.
I make the motion that we approve the lease of a new office space and purchase of supplies for the office.
Chair recognizes Trustee Skrtel with that motion. Is there a second?
Second.
We have a second by Trustee Barrett. If no more discussion, we'll call for the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Trustee Erdang? Trustee Erdang?
He's sorry, the mute button.
I was going to say he's muted.
Okay.
Aye.
We've passed unanimously. We'll go on to item 13 about the bank account with Zions Bank.
I'm going to recommend that the board move the banking our checking account to Zions Bank, and primarily because we have bonds. The actually, they're easier to deal with as far as financially than Wells Fargo. But with our bonds, we're recommending getting the credit card through them. And they have all their financials, they're doing all of our studies. It makes life a lot easier, and it makes our business operations a lot cleaner.
Sounds good.
Yeah, so just it'll be much easier for us to do business if we do that. And they've been good to work with, but beyond that, it makes better business sense to do that.
Great. Is there a motion?
I move we move to Zions.
Trustee Barrett recognized. Is there a second?
Second.
And it's Trustee Scrotel is a second. Call for the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
The motion carries unanimously. We'll go on now to item number 14.
I'm going to defer to Carrie a little bit because she's once been managing the names on the account, who we have and who do we need to add and that kind of stuff.
The accounts have been set up. Checking account, we have two separate accounts. Right now, the signers that are on the Wells Fargo account are Trustee Gibson, Paul, and Trustee Barrett. So once we close that, all signers will be null and void. We need at least three, if not four, reason being out of town. So it's two signatures required on all checks. So we need to figure out who's going to sign. And once we have initiated that, she's waiting for you to run down to the corner and get on there.
What's the recommendation for the names?
It's availability.
Availability is going to be most of it. Who's here? My recommendation would be chair and vice. And then you've got either Mark, Gary, depending on if we want all four, depending on if you only want three, but where Bob's back and forth. Gary, I don't know how often he's out of town. He's been on the last two. We need at least two.
This doesn't require a motion, does it, Rachel? Who's going to sign on the checks? I can get down there and sign. Hey, brother, you like to come home, go to the bank.
No.
No cane. One for you, call over here.
Well, can Mark? He's around.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
Mark,
any trustees, that's what I'm saying. We need at least two to sign, but you should always have at least a backup of three.
Mark, will you do that?
Yep.
That'd be great.
Until one of the other two's in town.
And you just need us to hop down the other
corner. She's waiting for you right here on the corner. Just go see. Her name is Jan. She's got it all ready and waiting for you.
Will you? So just under the Powder Mountain Sewer Water.
Yes. It's 25th and Washington. Whichever sure direction. That way. 25th and Washington. Right on the corner.
Just point in the right direction. Yeah.
That way. Her name is Jan. She's got all the paperwork sitting there.
Her name is Jan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll take care of that. Then we'll go on to item number 16. 2017 year-end audit. And I believe that's Mr. Watts.
Yeah, so you've received or seen a copy of the audit. And of course, the audits are really the board auditing the management. And so what we should, probably in the future, what I would suggest you do is whoever is completing your audit, that they be here and make a presentation to the board. And with their findings, so the board can ask questions about what's going on. So just to remember, that's the way it typically should be. So the audits there, everything looked good. I could tell, and Paul, you probably got a chance to see it, having managed it for the last year. Everything looked okay to you. I didn't see any questions or concerns on it in any way. I know the board should approve it. Accept the audit. That's typically what's best to be done. Basically saying you looked at it, you're aware of what you saw, and you're okay with it. Again, that's why it's nice to have the auditor here, because it's your audit of management.
Okay, is there any conversation pertaining to our audit of management? No comments being recognized. I will accept a motion to accept the audit as presented.
I move we accept the audit as presented.
It was moved by Trustee Barrett and seconded by Trustee Scrotel. If there's no more discussion, I'll call for the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion Aye. Carries unanimously. Thank you. And we'll move on now to on our agenda.
Mr. Chairman, we missed an item. Number 15 is the IT quotes.
We sure did. We'll go on now to discussion and or action on IT quotes from CRS engineers.
And I'd like to mention that in the part of the move and the transfer of files and data and everything else and our website, that's been housed and handled by an IT expert that's worked with CRS Engineering. But I understand Rachel and Paul, he does work independently of CRS also,
contracts
right?
Contracts out.
Contracts out. That's Steve?
Steve.
Oh.
Yeah, we're going to use Steve, okay, if that's okay.
To move the files.
Well, I noticed you're going to use Steve. I didn't know that he's doing it independently.
Well, no, not
well,
independently,
we don't,
but we're going to contract it through CRS.
Yeah, and we're making real money on this.
High yeah, that's cost. Shrewd.
Shrewd.
But we need it in order to move the files, but also to get set up with our tablets and computer and screens and get us hooked to the internet and get our website up and functioning, at least initially. If we even wanted to look at possibly RFQ in the future, but at least for the next few months, we need him because he's aware of everything, understands how it all works, but we need him to help us to get this, make this move, get the equipment all set up and get us functioning as an entity and get our independence.
Okay. Discussion on the item, which is item number 15. No discussion being heard. Is there a motion?
I move to approve it.
Trustee second. Erdang is the recognized motionaire, and then second by Trustee Barrett. If there's no more discussion, I'll call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries again unanimously. Is that it for item I? Then we will move on. As my Uncle Paul says, page 2. Item number J, Trustee's Report, Carrie Zanger.
All right. There's a couple of items on the budgets versus actuals, like we said last month. QuickBooks isn't my friend, but still. Most of it has been updated. There's just a couple items I have to take out of expenses versus bill. And your account right now, Wells Fargo has 157,025 in it, and the PTIF has, I think it's 266,249. There aren't any more liens. Most everything was taken care of last month. The letters went out, so as of right now, there's no liens to report. And then we did the audit.
Okay, great. Rachel, does that require any action from us? Item number J, like Juliet.
No.
Okay. Is there any discussion on item J? Great. Then moving on to item number K is a request for motion to adjourn the public meeting for a closed strategy session to discuss the sale or acquisition of real property, including any form of water right, and any pending or reasonable imminent litigation. I'll entertain a motion.
I make that motion.
Trustee Barrett is recognized for the motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Trustee Scrotel. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Gary?
Aye.
Is Marcus going to stick around for this or?
Marcus is out.
Marcus.
I can
okay.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Use my office. And I'm going.